In today's economy, many are sitting with heavy questions about their careers, finances, and work-life balance. Maybe you're wondering if working two jobs is worth your valuable time and energy, or how to be more available to yourself and your family, or if now is the right time to make that career transition, career advancement, or jump into entrepreneurship. Hi, my name is Tara Hayslip. I'm the CEO of Grounded Energy 111, international best-selling author, and spiritual career mentor. I help entrepreneur women and corporate career women create soul-aligned careers around their lifestyles. If you are or have been feeling like you want to do more with your career by making that change, advancement, or start your own business, I invite you to my free monthly workshop, the Be a Boss Workshop, where you'll meet other women going through similar career transitions and experience an interactive group coaching workshop. For more information, follow me on Instagram at grounded_energy111, join the Grounded community through my link tree and my Instagram bio, check things out on my website at www.groundedenergy111.com, or email me at tara@groundedenergy111.com, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Hey there, welcome back to Entrepreneurship Happens. We thank you for joining us and just want to remind you to hit subscribe and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and family so we can continue to grow. On this week's episode, Castra Troy and I speak with Trang Nova. She is an Australian entrepreneur who takes us not only on her journey, but also how she became a coach to help women learn how to pivot and create the careers and businesses of their dreams. Hope you enjoy. Bye. Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are stepping forward and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Just a huge favor and let our listeners know who you are and what do you do.
Yeah, for sure. So hello, everyone. Like, thank you for tuning in. My name is Trang Ses Nguyen, and I am from Melbourne, Australia. I think you just said that. I'm like the furthest guest that you've had on the show. So all the way from the other side of the world. And what I do is I am a purpose and performance mentor and speaker for women who are hungry to pivot and build their dream career or business of impact so that they can ultimately fulfill their purpose and potential and create a life of freedom and fulfillment till their very last day. That's what I do now. It hasn't always been what I've done, and we may go into this, we may not, but it's been a journey to get here with a bit of a career change, you know, twists and turns. And but yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. It has been a ride.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. So go ahead, just relax. We got you. So first of all, why did you become an entrepreneur?
It was accidental, actually, because, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I am the daughter of immigrant parents, and a big lesson, a big story that they wanted to teach me was to value security, to value stability, which I totally understand based on their upbringing, and they had to leave like a war-torn country in Vietnam. So I finished school, I went to uni, I got a job, like a 9-to-5. I was working as a physiotherapist in the health industry. And that was going to be the rest of my life. That was going to be what I was going to do forever. But then what started happening was I started to realize that I have these creative desires. I like to challenge myself. And about 7-8 years ago, I just made an Instagram account to start sharing more of my ideas. I started to share inspiration on this Instagram account. This is when Instagram was still Like, it was popular, but it was still kind of like up and coming. It wasn't getting used as much for business as it is now. Mm-hmm. So it was actually accidental. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just using this Instagram account to just share ideas, share inspiration, no intention of actually making money from it. But from there, it started to grow. And yeah, that one thing led to the next and eventually led to my first inquiry. Led to my first client of my own that wasn't through an employer, wasn't through my 9-to-5. And before I knew it, I was like, wow, I better come up with a logo. I better come up with some branding. I think I'm an entrepreneur.
That's good. That's really good. So, like you mentioned previous experiences as a physiotherapist. How did you make that transition to become like into the entrepreneur thing? Like, when did you make that leap? It was like, yeah, I'm ready to do this full speed, full time. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good question. Cause the link doesn't seem that obvious, right? Like, I was working in the sports and health industry, and then now I'm doing, you could say, at a high level, like mindset and business mentoring. So it's like, okay, where's the link? So what happened was, you know, when I was working as a physio, like I was generally comfortable, I was generally happy, I was generally doing well. So I thought that that was it. You know, like I mentioned before, I thought that was it. But there was one morning, there actually was one day where something happened that led to a quarter life crisis that led to this career change. And I bet that you're listening, you're not going to expect what this is. You're not going to expect that this one morning, stepping on a snail could be the one thing that changes your entire life. So what actually happened was this morning I had gotten up early to go for a run. And when I stepped out onto the sidewalk, I hear a crunch. And I'm like, what's that? What's going on? I looked down, I'd stepped on a snail. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened before, but for some reason, this particular morning, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I couldn't help but feel guilty that me doing me, living my own life, I had caused such an effect on something outside of me. Like, in this case, I had killed something. Mm-hmm. And over the remainder of the run, I started to see the bigger picture. I started to think about it deeper. And I was like, I feel so guilty about this one incident. But like, there are so many ways that my current lifestyle as a whole was already neglecting different forms of life. I started to see it. And this started my quarter life crisis, let me tell you, because over the coming months, I started to like think deeper and deeper. And I was like, oh my gosh, like my life, like my existence has so many consequences that I would previously never think about. I wasn't even aware of, like whether it was the plastic that I was using or the clothes that I was wearing, right? And I started to see like how powerful I was as a human being, like how significant I was in terms of the effect I could have. Yet how helpless or how insignificant I still felt. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've got this veil that's been taken from in front of my eyes. I see now, but I don't think I can ever make that much of a difference. I'm just one person. How can I ever make that much of a change to this world? Mm-hmm. So that actually sent me spiraling because I was so like emotionally burdened by this. And I had this period, I think it was about a year, where I was just like, oh my gosh. You know, what is the purpose of my existence? What can I do? How can I become more? How can I do more to create more change in this world? And yeah, it got to the point where going into work in the health and sports industry and, you know, going into the gym and teaching people how to squat or teaching people how to do like wrist exercises. I know that you're filming this, like wrist exercises. This is just for wrist pause. Pain, right?
Definitely pause. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. It just wasn't enough for me anymore. So then I started to ask the question, well, how can I have the most impact during my lifetime? Like, I can never change the world overnight, but I can do the best that I can do, right? And the best that I can do is the best that I can do. So I started talking to different people And I was like, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should volunteer. Maybe I should work in this charity. And I remember talking to my mentor, and he shared this idea that changed my thinking. He was just like, yeah, you can, you know, get on the front lines. You can actually get hands on. But think of this. Like, if you were alive during the times of war and you wanted to help soldiers in war, what would be the best way to help them? Like, is it to become a doctor or a nurse and to work in the hospitals to help the soldiers that are injured?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it to actually step out completely and become the person who ends the war?
Mm.
And I was like, that's it. Like, it's not actually necessarily getting on the front lines, because, yeah, like, if you're on the front lines in a war and a bomb comes, you're going to be wiped out as well. Right. Like, there are people who need to actually step out, who need to go to the root, the core mm-hmm. of what's going on, and end it at that level. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, there are all these issues, like humanitarian issues, like environmental issues, wildlife issues. And it's all just different spokes of the same wheel. And I started to see this. They're all different spokes of the same wheel. And that wheel was essentially human consciousness. Human consciousness, our ability to be connected to ourselves, to each other, to this planet. How aware are we? How emotionally invested are we? Or are we just going through our lives, like managing our lives, going through the motions, trying to feed our egos and trying to, you know, survive? So raising the consciousness of humanity became my mission. And that's why now I'm working with women in particular, you know, like, this is all relevant to anyone, to raise their levels of consciousness, to thrive in their lives, create businesses of impact as well. They can then spread their ripples. And I just believe that when enough individuals are thriving, then humanity will thrive. And when humanity thrives, then the world can thrive. So that is a link. That is the story of what happened.
Wow.
That's a hell of a story.
I know.
It is. It is.
All started with that one snail. Can you believe it?
So tell us, what do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
First thing that comes to mind has simply got to be the freedom and flexibility. Like, sure, you know, I'm working a lot of hours still, but I choose to. I love it. It doesn't even feel like work half the time. I was just saying before, like 7 a.m. in the morning, but I love doing this. Like, I'm so happy to do this. So it's like not necessarily like more time, but it's the flexibility. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, if I want to go skiing for 3 days in the middle of the week, I can. Because I can move things around. If I want to work whilst traveling, I can, because a lot of my work is online. So to me, it's being able to live that lifestyle and experience the values of freedom and flexibility. I love that. And I think, yeah, I've spoken to other entrepreneurs. I know they say the same as well. So I think that's a big theme.
It's definitely connected premise. The freedom and flexibility. So what have you found most challenging about starting this journey?
Oh, most challenging. So many, like from a physical level of just like trying to figure out the logistics and trying to start a business when I have never had any experience before. But I think, the biggest challenge for me has been more of a mental challenge of like overcoming certain fears. So in particular, like when I went from my like university qualified professional career into mindset coaching, like it can seem really woo-woo, I had to really work through my fears, and in other words, like my own limited beliefs and my own projections of my own insecurities about what other people would think of me or what other people think of what I am doing.
Right.
And like, you know, this was legitimate. Like when I was rebranding for the first time and when I was like going into, you know, this mindset space, I remember I had clients who were working with me in the sports space, and they would message me and they're like, hey, Trang, you know, love what you're doing. Like, love your passion. it's just not for me. So can I like cancel my work with you? And like, mm-hmm. I got messages like that. So it wasn't mm-hmm. just that I was imagining this. There were people who were like, yeah, look, love what you're doing. It's just, yeah, I'm not coming along with you.
Right.
You know, like I remember reading that message and I felt my stomach drop. Like I was just like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, am I making a mistake? Am I going to regret this? Like, what are people really thinking about me? How do I look? Do I look just completely silly? Like, do I look like a clown doing this? But then what I realized and I had to do the work on was, you know, you could be the juiciest peach in the world,
mm-hmm.
but there's still going to be someone out there who doesn't like peaches.
Right.
And oh, I just knocked the mic. like they're going to be people who don't want to come along on the journey. There are going to be people mm-hmm. who don't align. But then as they find their people who they align with, they create more space for different souls, different heartbeats to then join me on this journey and the message that I want to share. And then that's a beautiful thing. Like we don't have to, this is how I think, this is how I see it. Like as an entrepreneur who wants to share a message, who wants to create a certain mission or achieve a certain mission, like I don't need to reach every single human on this planet. But if I reach like, let's say even 1,000 individuals, 1,000 heartbeats, and I touch them, then they can then continue the ripple in their own worlds. It's like, it's I don't have to be the one who takes on all the responsibility. I can do my part, I can do my best, and then it's like that ripple effect that continues ongoing.
Right. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. And you had actually touched upon people thinking you're crazy. How did your family and friends react once they found out what you were doing and everything? Did it have a positive or a negative impact on your relationships?
That is a good question because family and friends, I think that's what comes up the most. Like when I'm working with my clients who want to pivot, develop their businesses, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what are my family going to think? What are my friends going to think? And it's true, right? Like our family and friends, they're the closest ones to us. Like they know us as us, how we've always been. So they're going to be the one who resists change the most.
Right.
I've actually been really lucky because even though what I mentioned before, you know, I'm the daughter of immigrant parents and they like there's no entrepreneurship in the family lineage at all. Like they just are all, you know, in like jobs that they do for their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very lucky that they have actually been very supportive. Mm-hmm. Maybe because like I didn't tell them everything at the start, like as I moved out of home, I was doing my own thing. And then I was already starting this like accidental entrepreneurship journey where I started this Instagram account, right? So like I was already kind of like making a decent earning. Like I was already transitioning and then I told them, but by then I could at least be like, hey, you know, I'm not just completely,
you had the receipts. It'd be like, I'm not here. Wow.
It's like, look. This is it. Okay. And I'll shout you dinner. Like, I'll get you that nice new TV you want. And they're like, oh, yeah. Okay, we're on board. We're on board.
Okay.
That's like when I got a tattoo. I didn't tell my mom until I was on my third one.
Wow.
You wait until you're into the process a little bit. I love it. Now, one thing I wanted to also mention, you mentioned how like some of your clients decided to not continue on a journey with you at the beginning. We also, as entrepreneurs, we also have to realize that sometimes people aren't ready yet. Some, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they might come back to you down the road, especially if with mindset being such a different thing and fairly a new thing to a lot of people. And to me, it makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of stuff that we do, we have to correct our mindset and our thinking to achieve what we want to achieve. But for some people, that's never been talked about and worked on. So we have to realize that sometimes when we lose certain clients, they may not be gone forever, but also, like you said, it's a collective thing. So they may not work with you, but down the road, they might work with somebody else and it's a collective thing. So I wanted to mention that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm so glad that you bring that up. Like, that's the thing. It's all about perspective. And yeah, like, as you say, they might not work with me, they might work with someone else. But that, you know, entrepreneurship, we're doing things that are new, right? Like, that's literally the core of entrepreneurship. We're doing things that are new. We have a vision. We are dreamers. And we're all on the same side. Like, we're all here to collectively, as you say, work together and progress the world. So yeah, that's fine. Like, it's not all about me.
So what's one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you started this whole thing?
Ooh, great questions. And I like that, like, I have to think on the spot as well, because sometimes, sometimes
I'll give you like ABC. We ain't doing that. Not here.
We're not in a classroom.
We went to the Oprah School of Questions.
All right. What do I know now that I wish I knew about entrepreneurship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to say that it's actually quite simple. I used to think that it had to be like all, you know, bells and whistles, fancy strategy. And that would get me sucked into different marketing funnels, right? I'd see an ad on Facebook and it was like, oh, try this 5-step method to double your income in 30 days or something like that, you know, like double your funnel or something. And I would get sucked into all of those things because I was like, oh, what's the next best strategy? What is it that they know that I don't know? But over the years, like through trial and error, through experimentation, what I've realized is that it's simple. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy and it's always going to be a linear journey. But in terms of the strategy, in terms of like getting to where we want to go, it is a simple concept. And to name a few, the concepts are, it's about relationships, right? Like, if we're, whether it's products or services that we offer, it's relationships with our customers. It's about consistency. It's about care. It's about providing value. And like, those simple concepts just repeated over and over and over, refined over and over and over, is what leads to like a thriving entrepreneur, I believe.
Right. I like that. And one thing to mention on that is, a lot of times when we're starting out, we see all these ads and we think, okay, this person has the key. They're willing to share it. Let me jump on this. And we take all these seminars and courses and stuff and don't realize that a lot of it is execution. After you're done that course, if you don't execute, it's not going to work for you. And the biggest thing, entrepreneurship is not one size fits all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, somebody could be in your same industry, but what worked for them for their success might not work for you. So that is something that we have to, you know, realize, and it takes a while. So their strategies might not just work for you. It worked, but it just might not work for you, you know? So that is something that people have to pay attention to.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's this saying that I've been living by, and the saying is, everything works for someone, but nothing works for everyone.
Right.
And that's what you were saying. It's like, whether it's strategies for marketing, strategies for sales, like whether it's even like in any realm of life. Like, I was thinking about this in terms of diets, because you know how like there's just diet wars, like people are like, you know, vegan or carnivore Mediterranean or paleo. And then they're all like, oh my God, this is the best diet. Everyone should be on this diet. But then everyone from every single different diet says that. So it's not like, so it's like everything works for someone, right? Like, everything works for someone, but nothing will work for everyone. And I think that's, and like having that discernment will take away some of the struggle of the early stages of entrepreneurship, I believe. Because some of the struggle is thinking, oh my God, what is that thing that I need to try? Why didn't it work for me? Is there something wrong with me? And just like beating ourselves up over something not working. And like, just like getting really, like spreading ourselves really thin, because we're taking on 10 different strategies that 10 different like gurus have mentioned. And then we just get so confused and overwhelmed. But instead, understanding, okay, all of these strategies are valid, but let's just, let's try one at a time. Let's see what works, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. Let's learn from this experience and then refine over time. And I think that creates like that sense of acceptance, that sense of peace mm-hmm. when it comes to the journey of ups and downs and challenges that entrepreneurship mm-hmm. does bring.
Right, right. You're very right. So what has been the worst thing so far that's happened to you during your journey? And how did you recover from that? How did you bounce back from that?
The worst thing. I think what comes to mind is like a time in my entrepreneurship journey where I pretty much had like 0.80 cents in my bank account. And I was driving home from work and my fuel was critically low. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to get home, I need to fill up my tank. Right. But I have 80 cents in my bank account and petrol is not that cheap these days. Maybe like, you know, maybe 20 years ago, but mm-hmm. it's not that cheap these days. And I had to desperately like raid the coins in my car just to pay for like a few liters of petrol just to get home. And like this, I say it's the worst thing because like at that point in time, I could have very easily told myself the narrative that this isn't working out. Like entrepreneurship mm-hmm. is too hard. Maybe my parents are right. Maybe I should just go into this stable, consistent, well-paying job. Mm-hmm. But at that point in time, I was just like, you know what? Like where I am now isn't mm-hmm. representative of where I could be in 3 months,
mm-hmm.
let alone in 6 months or 12 months. Like where I am now has nothing to do with where I could be in 12 months' time. It has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
And like it was actually, you know, it was actually such a blessing because what happened was I was like, it became very urgent that I needed to take action fast, right? Like otherwise I wasn't even going to be able to like get home the next day. So I was like, all right, I've got to, you know, kick my ass into gear. I've got to double down. I do have to hustle a little bit because at this point in time, I've got to get things moving. And I want things to move fast. I know things can move fast because I've seen others do it. I know that we can create the reality that we want. We've just got to like bring that into fruition. So I like doubled down. I worked harder. I started getting more creative. I started to innovate in ways I hadn't before. And then that trough, like that low, led to my next peak. Like that trough literally led to the highest peak that I'd ever had. And I believe that that contrast was the reason why I had the next highest peak because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much like pain of I never want to get to this place again. I need to do things differently. I need to go hard. And then that led to my next like surge of momentum in the business. So mm-hmm. yeah, that would be my answer.
Okay. I like that.
So let's delve into those peaks. What was the best thing that happened?
Best thing that's happened.
I know.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't get any easier from here. You know that, right? Go
ahead. Oh, I could say so many, but what I would like to share is so the peaks was of course, you know, naturally just based off that trough of like having to pay for petrol, using coins in my car, was having, you know, an abundance of flow of revenue that allowed me to feel like abundance, that allowed me to feel good about what I was doing. So that's definitely part of it. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only part because, you know, the greatest surge of positive emotions I've felt in entrepreneurship was after I ran my very first in-person retreat. Okay. So I'd run a retreat. It was like a weekend retreat. It had been rescheduled 3 times through COVID, right? I'd run this retreat. I finished the retreat. And after spending a weekend with these beautiful souls and they were leaving with their packed bags and they were like, Trang, thank you so much. Like I am walking out a different person from how I've walked in. I feel like my life has changed. Thank you. I remember like that day after the retreat finished, I checked out of the beautiful Airbnb, went to the beach to do some reflection. And for the first time in my life, I was crying of happiness.
Wow.
Like I felt this like this intense emotion in my body of just like it felt gratitude. Like my stomach was throbbing. Yeah. Like gratitude. But it was so intense. Like I felt like my stomach was throbbing. And I'm like, I've never had this before. I've cried of sadness, cried of sorrow, but I've never cried of happiness before. And I was like, this is exactly what I'm here on this earth for. This is exactly me fulfilling my purpose. This is exactly what I want to do the rest of my life. I feel so touched of the impact I get to have. And yeah, like crying of happiness for the first time, I was like, wow, is this what it feels like to experience the spectrum of emotions? Like not just the sad stuff, but like, and not just being excited, not just like that kind of high energy, but like I'm actually expressing this new height of emotions that I've never had before. So yeah, nice. That would be the one.
Because you came full circle. That's why. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. From like stepping on that snail and going through this like quarter life crisis and crying of like, oh my gosh, can I ever do enough for this world? To finishing that retreat and being like, I can. I'm one person, but I can. And I think that's something that all entrepreneurs like will hopefully. I think would benefit from hearing. It's like we are all one person, but we have so much power. We have so much power because it's that ripple effect. Like we can drop one rock in the water and it can create ripples for a long time. It can spread far and wide.
Right. I love that. So what about any situations with any crazy clients or anything like that? Any wild stories that have happened during your journey?
Yeah, I think we all have those stories. Eh? I think one incident does come to mind, and this was early on. And this is something that I do talk about now in that, in our journey, we have that gut feeling of like when someone or something or a decision or an opportunity is aligned to us or not. And this particular instance, I kind of had a gut feeling that this client wasn't super aligned. So the fact that she was getting signed up by her mum. So she was like a teenager at the time. She was getting signed up for mentoring by her mum, which already shows like in this instance, in what I do, like, she's not the one committing to this process. It's her mom that's like kind of, being handing her over almost being like, hey, I want you to do this. So what's that?
She's saying, fix this. Yeah, go ahead and fix it. Yeah.
So that like meant that this experience with this particular client was me trying to like, I felt like I was talking to a brick wall, because obviously this client, she was young, she didn't even necessarily want to be here. Her mum was the one who had signed her up. And it turned out to be this really turbulent thing where I got caught in the middle, because like she would be telling things and she's like, don't tell my mom. And then the mom would be messaging me like, oh, what did my daughter tell you? And then the mom would be calling me crying. I'm being like, oh, she's giving me such a hard time at home, like da da da. And it just like, this was early on. So I didn't have the boundaries that I had now. And I'd be taking like calls at 11 PM at night with, I know. Right. Here's a tip. Don't do that. like I just got so caught. And then I became really invested because like I was, the stuff that was happening at home was not healthy. No. The stuff that was happening at home was, they needed a very lot toxic. More help than, what I could give them. Mm-hmm. But then I was getting caught up because I was in it. I wanted to help them. Of course, like I didn't want anything bad to happen. And I felt like I would be responsible. So I just got so caught in the middle of that. And it took a toll on my mental health, because I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about this at night. I can't sleep at night because I just got off this phone call with, a crying woman. And let's just say that the lessons from that is, make sure that you take on work that's aligned and is fitted with the business that you run. And if it's not a fit, that's fine. Like you don't have to be the person that saves everyone. There's going to be someone else out there that's going to be better.
Exactly.
So
and no calls out the dark either.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. Like, if unless it's planned and unless it's agreed on in advance, like, mm-hmm. yeah, not no. do not do that. Do not do that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's really crazy. Oh my goodness. I know. And remember, you can say no and you can fire clients, but when we start out, we're scared to do that, actually, to turn people down. And then we all, especially with nowadays, we're afraid if we turn people down, are they going to go post a negative review and blast me and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but we have to, for the sake of our own sanity, we have to know when to say no. Like you said, this is not aligned to my goals. No.
Yeah. And we'll actually do them more of a service as well. Like, we'll do them better if we actually say no, because we're not aligned to work together. Like in this instance, like this particular client, she would have done better with someone who was a trained like psychologist. She would have done better with someone who had the skills to help her. So okay. I was actually doing them a disservice by right. continuing to try and like help them. Right. So it's like you're going to serve everyone better if you say no when it's the right time to say no.
Right. Definitely.
Right. You're right. Yeah. What's in your musical playlist right now? What are you jamming to? What are you running through the house dancing to? I see a spark. Come on.
Oh, okay. So funny. A lot of people wouldn't think that this, because like when I'm working or when I'm talking, like I come across as this like really high energy, but like wholesome person. Okay. This doesn't necessarily go against that, but people don't expect this. I am a bit of a music festival rat. Like I love music festivals. I love electronic dance music. So I've always got that in my playlist. And I listen to that, like whether it's morning or night. So like really hard bangers, like a bit of techno, a bit of hard style. Love that. But also like more lately, I've been getting into kind of like softer, kind of like disco music. It's like, you know, soft beats, like kind of like a bit of grooving. Okay. Yeah.
Like Bee Gees and hey, like, okay.
That's funny.
So let us know what you think about what makes an entrepreneur successful, and at this point in time, do you consider yourself a success?
Great question. What do I what's the question? Was what I do I consider a successful entrepreneur, or what makes one successful? Okay. What makes an entrepreneur successful? Okay. Two things that come to my mind. One is pure consistency. So like, that's what makes someone successful. There's this quote that I live by, and it's significant results come from the insignificant things that we do daily.
Right.
So it's like the insignificant things that we do, like just 1 hour to innovate, 1 hour to refine, this here and there, like on a consistent basis, leads to the significant results. So that's like something that I've really noticed, because over the 7 years that I've been doing this, like if you look at my routines and like what I do, it's like, it's not that, you know, mind blowing, but I've just been consistent. And like, I haven't necessarily had like the business that blows up and, you know, makes like 7-8 figures, like over 1 or 2 years. It's been a gradual process, but that's what happens. It's like, it's a slow burn. It's consistent. I can sustain it. I can continue this over time. But the other part, like the definition of what a successful entrepreneur is to me, is that you create a business, that you achieve what it is that you set out to achieve. And I know that's like so vague, and that's going to look different for everyone, but like someone, their goal might not be to be making like just like eons and eons of money. Like someone might just want to replace, you know, what would otherwise be their full-time income so that they have more time and they can be with their kids at nighttime or on weekends. Like that might be someone's goal in entrepreneurship. And if they achieve that, then they've gotten there. Someone else might be completely different. For me, like the successful entrepreneurship for me is one, fulfilling my purpose each day of the week. Because that is what led to this change, right? Like when I stepped on that snail, I realized, you know, if I want to get to the end of my life, if I want to be on my deathbed on the last day of my life and mm-hmm. still be like completely and be completely fulfilled, be completely at peace, I'm ready to pass on because I have served my time on this planet and I've left the planet better than how I was born onto it. That is what I live for. So if that day for me comes earlier rather than later, as long as I'm fulfilling my purpose each day, so like I'm having an impact in one form or another, whether it's the work that I do with clients or even just like giving a compliment to someone on the street. Like I did that the other day. I was in a shop and the shop assistant was helping me and I gave her a compliment because she deserved it. She was like stunning, had a beautiful smile. And I was like, can I just say, like, you have a beautiful smile. It's so contagious. And I could see that it lit her up. And that's like me, you know, just spreading that ripple of love and positive energy so that more and more individuals can thrive in their lives and to then right. spread that ripple. So for me, it's being able to fulfill my purpose and also do what I love with whomever I want, whenever I want. So that freedom and flexibility aspect is important for me as well. And that's why like I do have this like business that is mostly online. I'd have location flexibility. I can choose how mm-hmm. to schedule my days. Right, so right, those right. are the two main things that are important to me. And yeah, if I were to ask myself, am I doing that right now? I would say, yeah, I am. Like I say this, I do say that I am living my dream life now. You know, like this is the life that I dreamt of just a few years ago, like working on my own terms, having an impact, having abundance. I am doing that now. And I'm so grateful for that. And that's not to say that I have more tiers of goals I want to hit. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've got more tiers of like, you know, world domination that I want to hit, more people I want to reach, more growth in terms of the business, more growth in terms of finances.
Right.
But there's always going to be more tiers. There's always going to be more levels. But that doesn't mean that we can never then reach our success. That doesn't mean that we can never reach our dream state of living. I'm here now already. I'm here now. Right. And then when I get to those more tiers, I'll still be there. I'll still be living my dream.
You still have to celebrate. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that is an interesting conversation because I have talked with people who are like, okay, you know, is there a danger in being too grateful? Is there a danger in being too content and saying that you're already happy with where you're at? Because is that going to take away the hunger and the drive to keep going?
Right.
And I'm like, I see where you're coming from with that. But also, I don't believe it has to be one or the other. I don't believe it's mutually exclusive. Like you can be grateful and so happy with you where you're at, but still be so deeply hungry for more. And I say that based on experience because I think I'm there. Like I'm so grateful. I cry of happiness. I love my life. But damn, am I hungry for like the next levels as well, you know?
Right. And I think also what a lot of people don't realize, and I speak from experience on my end, because I was so focused on where I wanted to be. And after time, it doesn't feel like you're getting there. If you don't stop and celebrate the many successes, the many steps along the way, you're going to suffer burnout. You might quit altogether because you don't feel like you've gotten anywhere. So yes, it's both. We have to be grateful for every step, every level that we make while still going at it. We can't get complacent. You know what I'm saying? Don't get complacent in where you are, but at least sit back for a second and enjoy the moment as well.
Yes, that is so perfect. That's exactly it. Because otherwise, you know, so many people, they like go to the top of the mountain. They've worked hard their whole life. They get to the top of the mountain and they forget to look at the view.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why am I still like working myself into the ground? Why am I still in this state of like, I need more. I want more. Something's still missing, like their whole lives. And, you know, is that how we want to live? Like our life is experience of the present moments, being able to feel and experience the joy and happiness and pride and gratitude of where we're at.
Right. I like that.
So Troy, how do you manage feelings of self-doubt or imposter syndrome and how do you push through that?
Yeah, good question. It's a constant work in progress. And imposter syndrome is something that like I literally talk about a lot because so many people experience it. So the statistics is that up to 82% of people experience imposter syndrome, and I am definitely not immune. How I deal with it is I've just got to consciously acknowledge where I'm at, kind of like what you were saying before, Tamara. It's like I could experience all of these things, achieve all of these milestones and these wins, but there are still so many high achieving individuals that like don't even recognize their worth and don't even recognize how far they've come. And that's because, yeah, like we move on to the next thing too quickly without actually stopping to acknowledge. So I actually have a bit of a practice. Each weekend I sit down, I do my journaling process, I do my weekly reflection process. And in that process, I write down 10 different ways that I showed up this week, that I achieved, that I was this week, that makes me feel really proud of myself, that makes me feel worthy, that makes me feel like I belong. And mm-hmm. and that is an ongoing process because, yeah, like it's an our journey is ongoing. Mm-hmm. So I do that every week and that really helps. Also, like in a moment where there is a time where I feel crippling imposter syndrome, like let me show you this story. I did a talk last year to a group of people who don't know me. So they didn't know who I was at all. And they're all sitting there with their arms crossed, like playing on their phone, looking at their nails, right? And you noticed that on stage, mm-hmm. like you noticed that. And to make matters worse, something happened halfway through the talk. The talk was both in person and it was also getting streamed online at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And the stream was via a phone that was on a tripod near the front of the room. And halfway through the talk, someone must have thought that they were on mute, but they weren't. And they said so loudly that I could hear, everyone could hear, after I had just landed a point, it was silent for a moment. They were like, oh, what a load of crap, seriously. You can imagine, right? Like I wanted to sink into the ground and disappear. Like I felt my stomach drop. I wanted to like die in that moment. But yeah, long story short, let's just say that night when I went home, I felt crap. I felt mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. why do I even bother doing this? Why do I even do this mm-hmm. to myself? Mm-hmm. Like, am I crap? I believed it. I was just like what I'm talking about, maybe it's just like is BS. Maybe people don't want to hear this. And I had all these thoughts mm-hmm. circulating in my mind and I had to so hard, so consciously turn that around by getting out my journal that night, writing in my journal again and being like, all right, you know, like you could be the juiciest peach in the world. There's still going to be people out there who don't like yeah. peaches.
That was a right, different. Right, that was a different. Right. Apple, that was a different apple lover.
Yes, exactly. And I had to like repeat that. Mm-hmm. What are the different ways that, like, I am a juicy peach and people love me as a peach? And I like wrote down all the evidence, you know, like testimonials, feedback that I've gotten in the past. I had to like remind myself of that. I had to like really direct my energy and focus to that. I had to be like, all right, you know what? These things happen. Right. Like, what are the gifts of opportunity and learning that I can get from this experience?
Right.
How can I grow from this experience so this never happens again?
Right.
How can I use this to level up again? Because, like, let's be honest, no one at the top of Mount Everest got there without, like, a little bit of a slip, without a little bit of a fall, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
It is necessary. It is almost like a prerequisite to get to the top of Mount Everest and have these slips, to have these falls. Mm. So you know what? The fact that I'm having this slip today, this is almost a privilege. It is almost a privilege that I am progressing on my journey. I'm getting closer to the peak of Mount Everest and I've got into my first hurdle. And like just reframing all those thoughts and like, you know, consciously like forcing myself to do that night, the next day again. And, you know, after an incident like that, I had to allocate more time and energy into reframing my thoughts until it started to shift the way that I felt. And it started to shift my perspective more by default. So that's what I'd recommend. That's what I do. And it works because after about a week, I could finally like not cringe and almost, you know, just want to like disappear into nothing when I thought about that incident. But that took a bit of work. That took, you know, showing up and being like, all right, I need to redirect my thoughts.
Right. That's awesome. Well, what is one last piece of advice that you would want to give a new entrepreneur, somebody that's just starting their journey?
This one comes really easily to me because this is what I attribute so much of my progress and my success to. And that is surround yourself with those who will inspire you, who will teach you, and will fast track your development. Us humans, we operate based on what is normal in our culture, right? Like normal dictates culture dictates our choices and actions, and that then feeds back into what's seemingly normal. So if you were someone, and this was like me, right, like when I was only surrounded by people who were in 9-to-5s, people who didn't know anything about business, the fact that I was doing business meant that I was now no longer within the norm of my environment. And that meant that every single day, my environment was naturally, just by default, trying to pull me back into my old ways. Mm-hmm. And I had that so many times when I was going back and forth, I was just like, oh, maybe I'm just dreaming too big. Maybe I'm being unrealistic. Maybe like this just isn't for me, because that's what the narrative all around me was like unconsciously feeding into my mind, until I started working with mentors. And so I started to make entrepreneur friends. Until I started to go to events and meet, you know, other business owners, like CEOs, other entrepreneurs. And it became so normal in my world to be doing this full time, to be growing at rapid rates, to be making levels of revenue that I'd never even previously dreamt of. Like that started to become real. That started to become normal. And that, I truly believe, has been what has allowed this journey to continue to unfold and to get to where it is now.
I love that. Well, it has been a pleasure, true pleasure, speaking with you today. Do our listeners a favor and let them know how they can catch up with you, how they can book with you or find you on social media.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm most active on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is my full name, Trang Ses Nguyen. The spelling of that, TRANG. CESSNGUYEN. I'm sure you'll put that in the show notes. But that's probably the easiest place to find me. I know the spelling of that is definitely a bit of a mind boggle sometimes. So that's the easiest place to find me. I'm active on there every single day. I'm in the DMs every single day. And then from there, you can go anywhere else, like my website, my podcast as well, any of my offerings, any ways that you can work with me. There are different offerings, different tiers for anyone to get started. So yeah.
Awesome. And what's the name of your podcast?
My podcast is called the Aligned Performance Podcast.
I like that. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tamara. Thank you, Casta.
You're welcome.
IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to track you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers in compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Well, we hope you liked today's episode. If you did, leave us a voice message or even a review. Join us next week when we speak to Cantrella, Coach K Singleton. She's a financial expert and also a mom to young entrepreneurs themselves. She'll take us on her journey and give us some tips on financial health. See you next time. Bye.